Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bringing a whole new attitude to your afternoons.
You feel good!
You know, two dudes talking sports.
Well, wait, listen to those two clowns.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It is my great privilege to welcome you to Canton, Ohio.
Powered by Paramount Elite ICS.
It's showtime.
It's the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show!
Hey, first Friday.
You got it right.
It's your first day. Friday.
Whenever it's a first Friday, you're happy, and weather's good, so it should be a good night out in downtown Canton.
Weather is good. It's decent. It's not hot. You know, I got spoiled when it was hot. I like it when it's a little bit warmer.
Yeah, I know that today a little chilly as I went outside and that had some errands to run and everything like that, but still had the windows down, the radio blaring, yeah. And enjoying the weather, and the weekend's upon us, and it's going to be a long weekend for a lot of people, including us. We're off on Monday. It's 4th of July weekend, so happy 4th of July weekend. Enjoy your Independence Day whenever you're celebrating it this weekend, and always nice to have a short work week like that next week.
It is, and, it's good to give thanks to the guys that, gave the ultimate sacrifice when you think about it. You know, it's not just Memorial Day or Veterans Day. For me, it's the 4th of July as well, and like we say, a lot of times people don't consider Independence Day. Celebrate the 4th of July, okay. You put up a flag, you watch some fireworks, and that's it. But let's give thanks to the guys that, did things that we weren't able to do or didn't do. It served for the country and everything else so we can live in the land of the free, home of the brave, and have a good, fun show like this every day.
Yeah, we get to do this craziness, this stupidity, this, two idiots talking on the radio because of that freedom. So, yes, enjoy, remember, celebrate, but be careful how you celebrate, because we always hear after, the 4th of July, there's always those stories about fireworks gone wrong. So if you're going to be shooting off fireworks legally or illegally, please be smart and be sober. That's my advice to you.
That's good advice, Kenny.
It is. Be smart. Know what the hell you're doing if you're doing it. And please, we always do, don't drink and drive. Yeah, hello, that makes sense. Well, don't drink and try and shoot off fireworks, especially if there's other people around. So be careful.
You're like a traveling public service announcement.
I am. I'm a Mr. PSA. You can call me Mr. PSA.
That's right.
I look out for everybody. I try to. I want everybody to have fun, but I want them to be safe. And we don't want to hear about these stupid, idiots in the news story come Monday or Tuesday when we're back on the air.
Oh, wasn't it that the defensive lineman for the New York Giants blew off half of his hand shooting off fireworks?
Jason Pierre-Paul. Yeah, he did.
I think he ended up winning a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers. Was he with the Buccaneers last year?
I believe he might have been.
Was he?
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, just be careful. I know. Hey, I've been a part of friends and family where we legally or illegally purchased fireworks, and it's cool, it's fun, but you got to know what you're doing, man. Like bottle rockets and firecrackers. Okay, I've been there, I've done that. Put them in a pop bottle, shoot them.
Sure, we were cool.
But now you can buy the mortar stuff that you stick in the ground and send it off at all these fireworks shops and everything. So if you're doing that, if you're going big time like that, please be safe. And be careful. So, all right. So, happy 4th of July weekend. Happy First Friday to everybody in Canton. And you want to start with the Indians losing last night? Or where do you want to start today? Because are the wheels falling off for the Cleveland Indians is my question.
Well, I don't know if it's falling off. I mean, look at the lineup. Look at the injuries and everything you expect is happening when they face a really, really good team. This is the same thing that Chicago went through when they played the Astros. The problem is, we didn't gain enough ground when they were playing the good teams, and we were beating up the likes of the Baltimore Orioles and whoever else that we were playing. And we couldn't take advantage of beating the Detroit Tigers when we had the opportunity. But you're right. I mean, you could fall behind 8-9 games really quickly if you let this four-game set get away from you. And from what you saw last night, Indians started out all right. But again, who are you relying on for pitching now? Against a good team like that, Altuve gets up there, socks a grand slam. Next thing you know, game, ball game. You knew things like this are going to happen to a young team, and you've got unproven starters. I don't know what you expect. And now when you lose Josh Naylor, you don't have Framil Reyes in the lineup, and you lose your left fielder last night. I mean, what do you expect?
Yeah, I
Jose Ramirez is only one man.
Right. I texted you last night, and we had just discussed the Lonnie Chisenhalls, right? And
right.
then the abdominal strains.
Right.
And on cue, maybe we black catted Eddie Rosario, but he had to leave because of right abdominal tightness last night in the game.
Right, right. So let's look at it this way. Let's look at the lineup last night for the Indians, and let's decide whether or not the wheels are falling off or if they should just, you know, throw up the white flag and start working for the future. Because if you think about it, with the trade deadline a month away, I don't think the Indians are really in a position to be sellers. Who wants anybody on this team? Maybe an Eddie Rosario? Is he going to help somebody, especially if he's injured?
You know who might? Cesar Hernandez could be their best trade chip to get somebody young back in return.
He's on a one-year deal anyway. You're going to lose
him. Well, that's why. That's why he's he's a valuable trade asset because, A, he's a decent player, gold glove winner last year. His average isn't great, but he's come up with big hits. And the fact that he is on a one-year deal, the other team that's trading for him, they're not locked into him for multiple years and millions of dollars.
All right, he's batting .218. You're not going to get much for him, so you might as well keep him for the rest of the year, the remainder, because you're not going to get anybody's top prospect. So it's a moot point. I don't need to make deals just to say that I made a deal before the trade deadline. I'll keep him for the remainder of the season because there's nothing I'm going to get in return. Look at that lineup yesterday. Cesar Hernandez, Amad Rosario, Jose Ramirez, Harold Ramis, Eddie Rosario, Yu Chang, Bobby Bradley, Ernie Clement, Austin Hedges, Oscar Mercado. I mean, come on. How are you going to take that team into play? The only thing they had going for them is they're playing in front of the home crowd. Because to me, that's pretty much a Triple-A team with Jose Ramirez on it.
Yeah, it's a struggle right now with this team pitching and hitting-wise. Now that Rosario is out, Ramirez, is your one big bat,
yeah.
Your fearful bat in there. Although, let's be honest, Harold Ramirez has been a find, a godsend for them.
Beautiful.
Where would they be without Harold Ramirez, who's batting .282, which is tops of all the guys in the starting lineup? So, you've got the Astros for, what, three more today, tomorrow, and Sunday, and then you're off to Tampa Bay for a three-game series against a team that's one of the better teams in the American League. So they're five back as we speak, JT. By the time this thing's done, that seven-game stretch, they could be 8, 9, or 10 games out of first
place.
Which
is fine, but they'd still probably be over 500. And 42-36, they're six games above 500 right now. Nobody expects them to be as good as they are, so let's play out the string. I don't think there's anybody they're going to go out and try to, you know, add to this team. If they wanted to, there's veteran pitchers out there they could go after right now that are free agents that they wouldn't have to trade for. But they're not doing it. And what they're trying to do is go to battle each night with a guy like Henches or, you know, whoever else they call up. Eventually, it's going to catch up to you. You're not going to be able to have success, especially against the better teams in the American League. You're just not. There's a reason there's divisions in baseball, and these guys aren't ready for the bigs yet. I'm sorry.
It's starting now. It's not about to happen. It is starting. The catching up, the other teams, the better teams, you're seeing it right now. And that's why when I look at this, JT, if by July 31st, 29 days from today, right, trading deadline, if around that time, 1, 2, 3 days, in advance of that, if the Indians are, I'm going to say, 7 games or more out of first place, okay, I look for them to sell the likes of Rosario if he's not injured with the abdominal strain, as well as Hernandez, and maybe even a Brian Shaw at that time to restock the farm system with more pitching that they think they can pluck out of everybody's farm system, okay? And to also save money, go back into that saving money mode for the second half of the season. Because what are they paying Rosario? What did he get?
$8 or $9 million.
Yeah. Let's say it's $8 million. Well, it's going to save him $4 million. And to the Dolans, that's a lot of money. So I could see that if they're looking at this and saying, all right, our window's closing fast, we're going to be sellers instead of buyers. If they can save anywhere from 2 to 4 to 6 to 8 million dollars at the trading deadline, I expect them to do it.
I don't think that'll happen. I don't think you'll get enough for these guys. For what you're going to get for an Eddie Rosario on the trade market, you might as well just look at the draft and just draft nothing but pitchers. That's the only thing you have to worry about. I don't think there's anybody really a viable candidate to bring a haul back for.
Whether JT, I'm not talking about...
Whether they're,
you know, to help now.
Don't care.
I'm talking for the future.
Doesn't make sense for the future. So will draft picks.
Yes, it does.
So will draft picks.
Yes, it does. That's what they do. That's how this team has to be built, by taking chances
on
young prospects.
They'll have the draft as well, and I just don't think they'll get enough in return. You know, when I look at trading somebody, I want a higher haul. I want something in return. I want top prospects. I don't need a pitcher just because he's on a payroll.
You're not going to get that for a 219 batting average and Hernandez.
That's exactly
what I'm saying. But a team that needs him, the Indians' belief is we are smarter than everybody else in Major League Baseball at looking at your minor league system and finding guys that we like that we can fix with our pitching coach and everything like that.
Who needs an Eddie
Rosario? Don't want your number 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 pitching prospect. They want a guy that they like that's further down on the list.
Kenny, who needs him? Who needs an Eddie Rosario? Who wants a Cesar Hernandez? Who are you going to trade him
right
to?
Now, I don't know. Between
now
and then, injuries could occur. Look, we talk about a different
Indians player
getting injured every day.
But if they don't occur between now and July 30th, it won't matter. If it doesn't happen between now and July 30th, it's a moot point. That's my point. I don't think you've got enough to offer anybody to get anything in return. That's just me saying. But, I mean, I look at a 218 hitter and say, yeah, you know what, I'll give you some guy down on the farm, but what's the sense in doing it? Just to save a couple of bucks? I don't think these guys are as cheap as everybody wants to point out, because they still do have some guys on this payroll. Their payroll is about $53 million. It's last in the majors. I get that. But I don't
what
think
more do you need? They're last in the majors in payroll.
Let me finish. I don't think they're hurting for money. I don't think it's that big of a deal to them. For them to hang around 500, it's just like, you know what? We're going to sit back. We're not going to say we don't have enough and we need more in return. They're going to sit back. They're going to blame the injury card like you have never heard before if this team fails to be 500 by the end of the year.
Exactly. They are going to blame that so they can trade.
Well, we'll see.
And I'll throw another guy. I'll throw Harold Ramirez in there, who was a find by them this year. Why not offer him up if he continues to hit like this? And he's got a proven track record before Florida Marlins, Miami Marlins. So those are the types of players that they might be able to deal for at least a prospect that they could get lucky with.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I just don't think there's anybody a viable candidate. I don't think the Indians are good enough to be sellers. When you think about the trade deadline, you think buyers and sellers. You think sellers, you think Minnesota Twins. Josh Donaldson on the market might be going to the Mets. That makes sense. But for me, when I think of sellers, I think of a team that's in the basement that just doesn't have a care in the world. And we'll just give this guy up. It could be the Indians. I just don't think it will.
We'll find out between now and about July 25th, right? What's their record? And that's something we should keep an eye on. Let's see. Today's July 2nd. So let's track their record for this month alone, okay? Let's see what they do in the month of July, because I think that will play a factor in whether or not they are buyers, sellers, or they don't do anything. I'll be honest with you. If they are out of the playoff race, I expect them to try and sell whatever they can to somebody who might need said outfielder Rosario or Ramirez, or said infielder Hernandez, because of injury. I think that will help the Indians' cause in trying to get something in return for those three players' injuries. And like we said, this year, for whatever reason, in basketball and baseball, guys are dropping like flies, man. So, you know, do I hope that they're buyers, meaning they're still in the division race or the wild card race? Yes, that they go out and get a pitcher to help with the rotation, or they go out and get another bat to help with the everyday lineup. But I'm starting to see, you know, the cracks spreading wider and wider, and everything starting to fall apart for
this team. Well, no question. You knew there was clearing weaknesses on this team. You know, the main one was offensively. And when you look at the lineup, it's no, you know, it doesn't, it's not surprising at all to know that, you know, you're not going to go up against, you're not going to go toe to toe. And as good as you've been, and even though you were going to challenge the White Sox for first place in the division, we look at it and say, okay, you're not an elite team. You're not in it to win a World Series anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's got to be a reason you go into the season anyway. You're going to play out the string and see how good you can truly be and prepare for the future. Okay, we get that. Can they maybe go out and get some guys that are going to be top prospects and be able to plug them into this system? I just don't know. I just don't see as much value on this team right now. It's a nice storyline. It's a great managerial run by Tito. I mean, if this team ends up at 500, no matter who wins a World Series, you've got to think of Tito, and you've got to put him into the conversation for Manager of the Year. You just have to. Because
now
how they're doing
they
this
won't
is,
because 500 doesn't get you Manager of the
but
Year.
But I'm just saying, 500 should get you Manager if you go 500 in the bigs with a Triple-A ball team. You just should.
Well, you'll have
I said
teams.
Conversation. I didn't
okay.
say winning.
All right.
I
win
said
it.
You've
okay.
got to put
That's
him into
fair,
the conversation.
Then. Speaking of conversations, by the way, Michael Brantley's hitting 345 for the Houston
don't, that,
Astros.
Don't even start me with that.
In his 3 years. No,
him.
Let me finish. Come on, I'm going to make you even more mad.
No,
you
I
ready
don't want
for this?
To.
In his 3 years with the Houston Astros, Michael Brantley has hit 311, okay? That was his that was his first year. And then, let's see, now it's saying exit pages, of course, when I need this live on the radio. 311, 300, and 345. So he's hit 300 in all 3 years. He's driven in 90, 22 runs last year in 46 games, shortened season. And he's got 31 RBIs already this season. So there's one of the biggest mistakes they made as they continue to search for outfielders when they didn't sign him at a bargain price of $16 million over 2 years, right?
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Every time you see those numbers, and not only that, he was a great guy in the clubhouse. He was the leader on the team. Even when Francisco Lindor was here, who did he look up to? Michael Brantley. That one is the one that's going to, until he slows down, gets ready to retire, and there's no slowing down after hearing those numbers. I mean, Michael Brantley is going to be, he's going to be an all-star again.
He's putting together another solid season for them in Houston, and he is sorely missed here in Cleveland. It's one of the ones they dropped the ball on, along with your guy. Who was your guy, the third baseman you like?
Yandy Diaz. Yandy Diaz, and I'll give you another one. Yan Gomes I'd love to have back.
Yeah, right now. Yeah, they thought they could get rid of him because of Roberto Perez and whoever else they had down on the farm.
They were both good defensive catchers, but he won a Silver Slugger Award. You should have kept him. You know what you got in return for him? I think you got, what, Daniel Johnson is part of that deal? Who else did you get for Yan Gomes?
There are a couple of players, but, yeah, it hasn't worked out to their advantage so far, okay? And let's be honest, you know, Daniel Johnson's still young, so maybe that comes around. We'll have to wait and see. But as of right now, it doesn't look good. And I'm just curious. I don't even know what I do know this. Yan Gomes has a World Series ring, right?
Yeah.
So he's with them. He's hitting .258 right now with 7 homers and 27 RBIs.
What's wrong with that?
For the Nationals. Yeah,
how would
take
that look
in
on
a heartbeat.
This offense?
Yeah.
Look, when your other catchers are hitting .160.
Yeah, you could add two of the catchers that have played this year, their batting average, and it wouldn't equal that. So
Those were head scratchers. You know, when you talk about the Dolans and you want to say, you know, anybody wants to sit out there and say they're cheap, okay, we get that. But the moves that they made that backfired are mind-boggling. Because that's more than just
time.
Being cheap. That was just – those were on Antonetti. Those are bad moves unless he was told from the top of the snake, right?
Right.
Let's cut that payroll, man. Yeah. Let's go.
That's it. And think about it. Yan Gomes – more expensive than Roberto Perez, right? So you're going to – Michael Brantley, more expensive than some of the outfielders that they've tried to play out there in left field.
Think about
this,
too.
So that did have a factor.
You wanted to save money, you would have kept Yandy Diaz, put him at third. You would have had Jose Ramirez playing his true position, which is second. You wouldn't have had to go out and get Cesar Hernandez. And you got lucky this year that he came back on another one-year deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're wondering now, okay, he did win a gold glove last year, and he had a good season with the Indians, but it was a shortened season, so that allowed him to make a nice chunk of change this year, and the average is down, but he's had some big hits for them this year, so I still think there's some, you know, because he's a veteran.
There's value. I just don't think you get enough in return. I always want more. When I want to make a deal, I want to get more. But, I mean,
right.
if when you think of Cesar Hernandez, he's a good second baseman. But if you want to trade him, you want to get value in return. I don't think you get a future starter. I mean, I don't know what they're looking for. You want another arm in the bullpen? Maybe you get somebody there at the back end, somewhere in the middle. I don't know. But there's just not a ton of value there.
All right, Indian starters in the All-Star game, zero. Our votes did not do enough to get Jose Ramirez in as a starter, but he still could be selected when they combine the player voting and the commissioner's office selection. That will be announced in 2 days on July 4th.
All right.
So Jose may still end up getting the opportunity to be there. What I do hope is this. I do hope they pick Aaron Civale to be an All-Star, even though he can't pitch in the game, and then just, you know, get a replacement for him, because he is worthy of all the pitchers. He's the one pitcher worthy for the Indians, and the only guy worthy for the Indians as everyday position players is indeed Jose Ramirez. So July 4th, they will announce the rest of the rosters for both the American League and the National League. Do you think the players vote Jose Ramirez in, his, you know, his fellow teammates as well as players throughout the league? You think they see that he deserves to be in there?
I would hope so. I mean, a guy that's been in the running for MVP on a yearly basis, you would think he's got enough respect throughout the league that his you know, counterparts would put a good word in for him. But what's more important for this team is maybe to leave him off that team and let him get the rest for those couple of days.
That might be more beneficial to the Indians if they're still in the race. You would like to see that?
Think about this, too. When you think about it, you want to consider if there's anybody else on this organization, on this team, on this roster, deserving of a selection to the All-Star game, you have to say no, because there's a couple of reasons why. One, obviously, injuries. Secondly, most of these guys are platooning. So when you look at the outfield, everybody with the exception of Eddie Rosario until now, and again, it's the injury bug, has been platooned in the outfield with the exception of Eddie in left, and now you've got guys that are going to be all over the place. Third base is the only one that's been there all day, every game, with the exception of when they wanted to put somebody else in and let Jose Ramirez either DH or he was hurt because he fouled a ball off his face. Shortstop has been a rotation, with the exception of Amand Rosario now, but at the beginning of the year, that experiment with Jimenez was going on. Second base, Cesar Hernandez. But then occasionally you want to sit him down. He DHs. And then you throw in Yu Chang, Ernie Clement, or whoever else at second. First base, you had your man, Jake Bowers, there for the first half of the year. Now all of a sudden, Bobby Bradley, if you were going to base it on the second half of the season, maybe Bobby Bradley would have the opportunity to play his way in, but he hasn't played enough games. Catching has been a cluster. I mean, it's been injury after injury, depending upon who you want. One guy gets a concussion, the other guy breaks his thumb. I mean, what are you going to do? There's nobody on this team worthy of being in the All-Star game. But yet, with all the injuries and all the rotations, still six games above 500. It's amazing.
Yeah, they've done a decent job. But like I said, to me, the wheels are starting to get loose. About to come off during this stretch. So we'll see how that. By the way, Jake Bowers hitting .279 for the Seattle Mariners since he got dealt by the Indians. He's played 18 games for them. He has, let's see here. Well, he's not hitting the long ball. He still only has one home run for them, but hitting .279. Well, oh, and then the other guy that we mentioned.
Maybe
we talk about guys.
Maybe their hitting coach said, hey, you know what? Stop swinging for the fences. Forget about your exit velo. We need you to get base hits here. You know, and that team was, they were struggling. They're right around 500. So maybe that's got something to do with it as well. He thought he was a long ball hitter here.
Well, he tried to, because that's how you get paid, right? That's the way you make some money. And I'm looking at our guy. Let's see here. Where's Tyler Naquin?
I knew you were going to do that.
He got off to a fabulous start and has cooled off big time, JT. Remember when he had like 10 home runs in the first month or something like that? He only has 12 home runs and 46 RBIs, but give me a .250 batting average with 12 home runs and 46 RBIs right now as a starting left fielder for the Indians, and I'll take that.
How to put him in center field.
Or there, center field too. Yeah. But they let him go and brought in Rosario. And Rosario's got about the same amount of RBIs, but not the same amount of home runs. And the batting average similar, so they'll say that's a wash. But that's another guy that was homegrown that they let go.
So think of all those batting averages and how good they're all playing right now, and you're still six games over 500. It's amazing.
All right, let's do this. When we come back, Chris Fedor, Cavaliers beat reporter for the Plain Dealer, and Cleveland.com is going to join us. We're going to pick his brain as we are, what, 27 days away, about 4 weeks away.
I heard a
from
good
the
rumor.
NBA draft. Ooh, then you can ask him about
rumor.
That NBA draft
too.
Rumor. And we'll get his thoughts on who he likes in the top three and who he doesn't like. And
good.
What else the Cavaliers might do this offseason to try and get better and become the next Atlanta Hawks. That's next with Chris Fedor here on the Kenny and JT Show.
It's Kenny and JT on WHBC.